Brethren, we have an additional message, Burden of Love, that Sister Beverly Christensen has brought from those she knows in the Northwest. Brother David and Sister Elaine have sent their love and greetings. Sister Lori has sent her greetings. Sister Roz and Meg Roswick. Okay, thank you. Excuse me? Yes. Okay, thanks. Albert and Anastasia Schepelbaum, Don and Gloria Newsell, and Don and Myrtle Thompson. So there's quite a message of love we're pleased to have, kind of as a follow-through on the testimony meeting. Brethren, we're pleased to have now for this next session Brother Joseph Ajisi from Nigeria. He certainly has come a long way, and we have appreciated the fact that he has exercised also, as we heard by testimony, a great deal of faith and determination to make the trip to come this far. We look forward to his service, and he has asked that we introduce his talk with Psalm 40, verse 5, which reads this way: Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And Brother Ajisi's subject is counting. We're pleased to introduce Brother Joseph Ajisi.
Good evening, brethren. Thank you very much. It is with joy and thanks to our Heavenly Father, Jehovah, that Sister Modupe and myself are able to participate in your 1993 pre-memorial convention, marking the 40th anniversary of Fresno Bible Student Ecclesia. We offer our hearty congratulations to the brethren of the class in initiating the loving decision to invite both of us to share with other invited brethren the joys and the blessings arising from conventions. We thank you for the huge financial commitments put in place to make our journey possible. In fact, words are very scanty to express our appreciation and encouragements generated by your kind Christian gestures. The Apostle Paul, in Hebrews 6:8, gives a blessed assurance, saying, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We have indeed ministered to both our temporal and spiritual needs. And this is a manifestation of your covenant of sacrifice with the Lord, his cause, and his brethren. And now, the ministration being done by those in covenant relationship with God will, of course, be worthy of God's notice and reward. Apostle Paul advice in Galatians 6:9 says, Be not weary in well-being. In due time thou shalt reap if thou faint not. God willing, it is our ardent prayer that in future, as much as we have the opportunity, that such invitation be extended as well to other Nigerian elders, as it will afford them the unique privilege of being exposed to a broader spectrum of older generations of Bible students' families of like precious faith. We bring the love and the greetings from our children to you all. Franca, David, Michael, Carol, and our little grandson, Russell. Also the greetings and love of your brethren in Nigeria in general, and in Ibadan class in particular. They have individually and collectively asked us to give their love to entire Bible students in America. And making mention of us in your prayers, remembering without ceasing our work of faith and labor of love, and your continued moral support and encouragement in our little endeavors, that they yield fruits to the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. The text of my discourse have been read to you already, and it is taken from the book of Psalm, chapter 40, verse 5. Many, O God, Lord, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to us, what? They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I will declare and speak of them, there are more that can be numbered. I'm speaking as an accountant, there is always a period in every organization or human beings or individuals' life when account is taken to a certain progress or failure in your respective endeavors. Some organizations, either private, public, or multinationals, choose either first, second, third, or fourth quarter of the year as the end of the year, which is termed financial year, when the books of accounts are closed, as to determine which areas in the business made profits and which areas losses were sustained, as to determine a new strategy for improved profits in the new year. If the case be with those who are seeking temporal wealth and its honor, how much more careful accounting should be attempted in connection with spiritual matters. The lost people are not merely seeking for wealth, which will last for a couple of years or a few years and then be parted with, either at the end of their debt or sooner. They are seeking for the riches which perisheth not, and which thieves do not break into and steal. More than this, with the heavenly riches, they are assuredly seeking also heavenly honors and glories, even joint heirship with our King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the millennial kingdom, and in the glorious opportunity which it will bring in connection with the promised blessing of all the families of the earth. In the general settlement day with the world is at the close of the old year and the beginning of a new year. But with the church, an equally appropriate occasion, or indeed a still more appropriate one, comes with the annual remembrance of our Lord's death as our Passover lamb, and of our participation with him in his sacrifice and in the Easter celebration of his resurrection and our figurative rising with him to walk in newness of life, in prospect of after resurrection, in which, if faithful, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be like our glorious Redeemer, to see him as he is, and to share in his glory. Let us see how our spiritual accounts stand for the year past. Since we last brought together the emblems of our Redeemer's sacrifice and of our participation with him, let us at this time around note whether or not the year's experience have brought us nearer to the Lord or have in any measure separated us from the warmth of his love and fellowship and from fellowship with our fellow members of his body. Every year should find us nearer to the Lord, not only in the purpose of our hearts, but in the conduct of our lives, nearer to the perfect standard. We should make progress, growing in all the graces of the Spirit, also in the knowledge and appreciation of the Lord and his wonderful plan. If any have slipped in some, to some extent, backward, let such thank the Lord that matters are not worse than they were, that they have not wholly let go of his hand and relinquish their share in the exceeding great and precious promises of his word. Let us thank God this day of reckoning and review of the accounts that they find themselves desirous of being on the Lord's side and making a better record during the year before us. Let us look together at our text and see if we can join heartily with Prophet and King David in the sentiment expressed. He divides the subjects into two parts. One, thankfulness to God for his wonderful work of grace already accomplished. And two, for his thoughts, his purpose towards us, which are not yet accomplished, and which we have grasped by his promise with our arms of faith. As we look and see the whole world lying in the wicked one, without God and having no real hope, having merely vague impressions. And when we look back and see how the Lord has delivered us from the horrible pit of condemnation and sin, how he has had mercy upon us and delivered us and establish our feet of faith upon the solid rock, Christ, and his redemptive work. Looking back, we may see that happy day that fixed our hearts, that fixed our choice upon our Savior and our God. We may well give thanks and praise God for this, which he always has done for us. No wonder, as the prophet David proceeds to say, we realize that he has put a new song into our mouth, even the praise of our God. The new song is not one of doubt or fear, or of fear, nor concerning anguish of sinners, but a song of God's justice and mercy and love. Let us proceed in our calculations of our present assets and in our balancing of the year. Let us not be content simply with generalities in the balance. Let us retrospectively scrutinize the privileges and mercies enjoyed during the year and the use we made of them and the blessings we derived. Let us carefully note which features of our Christian curse has been most helpful to us, and which have, to any extent, retarded our spiritual progress, hindered our fellowship with the Lord, prevent our running with patience, or, with best result, decelerate the race set before us in the gospel. These items will necessarily vary with each individual, for no two are alike in temperance and or environment. You can see what we see here in the American environment is a contrast to what we observe in our country, Nigeria. So it is very difficult for us to say that we are the same in temperament or in environment. And really, I really praise the brethren here who are able to forsake what I'm seeing around us here to come to the truth. Why I'm saying this is that in our country, there are so many things that are not working. No facilities. And here you have everything moving very well, having a different environment where you have everything working very perfectly. I told a brother of mine that you almost come to perfection. He laughed at me, said, but the heart is selfish. I said, yes, you're correct. But in comparison, we find that you almost come to perfection because everything works very well here. You have good roads, the light is always on, the water is always coming out. But in our place, some weeks, no water, no light. No light. The roads are junk. The cars are, you know what I mean? So, the environments are quite contrast. And it's a great sacrifice to see the brethren, seeing all these things around them, they still stick to the truth. You are wonderful people. And I wish our brethren would learn much from this. It should as well consider not merely how much time he has spent in talking to the Lord, but also how much time he has spent in listening to the Lord's voice, in searching the scriptures, in seeking to know the divine mind, the divine plan, as it pertains to himself individually, to the church, and to the world. If any on reckoning up shall find that they have not made much such good progress as they had hoped, or perhaps apparently less progress in the narrow way, then some others above them, let them consider to what extent this failure of to progress was due. A failure to use the divinely appointed means for the growth in grace and knowledge of love, namely, the word and the brotherhood. Another point could as well be examined to see whether or not you have been active as was possible in serving the truth. Now, here we have to look how much progress we have made. We have to sit down to consider, to count, to reckon whether or not we have been faithful in this matter of laying down our lives during the past year for the brethren, faithfully in serving the body of Christ to the best of our ability. Remembering that it is a part of the Lord's provision that he who watereth shall himself be watered, and he who serve the truth to others may appropriate to himself the more abundantly at the Lord's table of grace and truth. In our counting, let us take some hints and suggestions from the inspired apostles. Let us note how they count matters and things which matters they set down to the profit and loss account. Apostle Paul in Acts of Apostles chapter 20 verse 24 tells us but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, St. Paul continued telling us that, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. From this text, we could note that Apostle Paul's estimation was not merely that the future glories were worthy of some loss in the present time, but that even the knowledge of Christ, including the knowledge of God's grace towards us through Christ, and the knowledge and the consequent opportunity of running the race for the great prize, was alone worth the price. He estimates that the loss of all earthly things in order to obtain this knowledge and this opportunity will be a great bargain. Let us rejoice and thank God, for we have this good asset, an epitome of knowledge of Christ, his character, his plan. This alone should give us joy, to have knowledge of Christ, to have knowledge of his character, to have knowledge of his plan. This alone, Apostle Paul summed up, is a great bargain. If we can have this in us, that is give us a lot of joy in our heart. This apostle proceeds to say that already he had suffered the loss of all earthly things and did count them but dung, that he might win Christ and find in him a member of his body. What a great man Apostle Paul is. He is somebody who knows what he's after and is prepared to suffer anything to get it. Apostle Paul's life to me is a great inspiration. After Jesus Christ, I believe there is no other any of his followers who has suffered as such. Christ was really Son of God. He came for a purpose. The Apostle Paul was born of a sinner, as I am, but he was chosen for a purpose, and he never one day go away from that plan made for him. He was faithful even unto death. Such spirit inspires me a lot, and I wish I would live such a life. A further suggestion as to how to count is found in the epistle of James. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entirely wanting nothing. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that your trials of your faith worketh patience. The problem with humanity is lack of patience. If we can endure heartily and patiently, because I'm saying it from experience we had during our visa exercise. Without patience, we are not being able to come up here. Because at a stage, I was thinking I was impatient. But I started looking up to the Lord and asked the Lord, let that will be done. So the day I phoned my son and told him that he has to contact somebody here, other brother Bob Wilson, and need a letter. And time is running fast, running out. And fortunately, with patience and endurance on both sides, we are now true conquerors. So patience, I know he said, count it all joy. Because I believe that our journey to U.S. has been a great trial of faith on my own side and my wife. And fortunately, we endured. And today, we are rejoicing. Praise the Lord. I have that in my mind as each look back for a year. One sees that there were numerous snares and temptations in our pathway. Over some of these, we gain victories readily. Others, perhaps, we win, but with severe struggles. And still, others, perhaps, were only partial victories. They were partial reverses, victories for the enemy. What did this temptation bring to us? What has been their value? One value the apostles suggest is a lesson of forbearance. They have proved to us that we are still in the schooling time, in the time of testing. To demonstrate our loyalty to the Lord and our worthiness through his merit to his share in his kingdom. It is everyone's wish that the testings we are all over now, that we are accepted to a place among the overcomers. But patience and faith and trust are to do a refining work in our hearts, making us mellow, willing and obedient to the Lord. Let the good work go on. Let us rejoice. If our trials have brought us lessons of any kind that are profitable to us, that have tended to make us stronger in character, more firm for the truth and righteousness, more awareness of our own weaknesses, and more on guard against the same. Even those conflicts which have resulted in only partial victories, have possibly been to our advantage. Surely so, in proportion as we contend earnestly against our own weaknesses, against the besetments of the adversary, we are sure to be victors. We must contend to know our weaknesses. As human beings, we depend on something to exist. Our material life depends on something to exist. We would not have food, we would not have air, we would not have water, we can't exist. So is our spiritual life. We have to depend on something to develop our spiritual life, and that is Jesus Christ. We cannot claim that we can do it by ourselves, because I haven't got the strength. We are weak. And the adversary is working very hard to make sure that none of us enters the kingdom class. He wants to make sure that all those who are serving the truth are being entrapped and brought down to his own level of condemnation. But these are things we have to contend earnestly with. Must appreciate that in us there is nothing we can do by ourselves unless by his grace. The Apostle Paul summed up his balance sheet of his account in Romans 8:18, saying, Romans 8:18, he says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the victory which shall be revealed in us." This is a very good encouragement. That is, revealing us. The us here is referring to the faithfuls. Those who are faithfully carrying out their vow of consecration. These are to be revealed eventually. And so it is with us. In our reckoning, as Apostle Paul did, in our account for the year, let us similarly reckon the things which we have suffered, whether they be few or many, small or great, whatever we suffer for Christ's sake, for righteousness' sake, for truth's sake, let us rejoice therein and endeavor for the coming year to be so much more faithful in all these respects that it may be our high privilege of suffering something further for the name of Christ, for his cause, and for the brethren. Brethren is one of the source of our problem. To lay down our lives for the brethren is one of the cross we carry. But this is a command from the scripture. We have to do it. It's part of sacrifice. Love of brethren, I better to be here today. And to quantify it in naira and copper, in dollar and cent, it means a lot to our country. And this is done with the spirit of love. We don't ask for this, we are asked to come. If there's no love, would there be any question like that? No. But the love is there, to be done voluntarily. This is a spirit which must develop in every child of God. So, we rejoice therein and devour the coming year to be so much more faithful in all these respects. We had all along been dealing with the profit and loss of our accounts as stewards and students in the school of Christ, bearing in mind that the period of Passover culminates the end of year in our Christian work and beginning a new year, it is therefore appropriate at this point in time to take a very much detailed inventory of our gains and losses. Fresno class is 40 years experience. 40 years to us is no joke. We are in Nigeria, we are only 10 years old. So we have come to our great grandfathers to seek knowledge. 40 years compared to 10 years. This means we have produced generations of Bible students. Most of you here have got grandparents who are Bible students. But back in Nigeria, most of us, our grandparents are pagans. We are pagans. Or heathens. Or they may be Christians, but not Bible students. You have produced generation of Bible students, and we in Nigeria benefit much from the knowledge and the wealth of experience so far accumulated from the generations. We count ourselves fortunate indeed to be associated with our American brethren in general, and Fresno in particular, in their wonderful understanding of our problems and difficulties, and the brotherly roles they are playing to sustain our desire that we may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It is appropriate at this time, point in time in our Christian calendar, the memorial of our Lord's sacrifice, Feast of Passover, to put ourselves in the mood as an injunction of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8 saying, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that we may be new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven of, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." The Jewish Passover ceremonies was the first institution of divine favor with the nation of Israel, which prefigured the first institution of divine favor inaugurated by our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Communion or the Common Union. One important aspect of the Feast of Passover is that it is a remembrancer of the last plague upon Egypt, which was the death of their firstborn, and the fact that the firstborn of Israel were spared over and passed over by the destroying angel in that night. Furthermore, this firstborn of Israel exchanged by divine direction for the entire tribe of Levi were therefore represented in them, and they, as the sacrificing priests, become the ministers of the law covenant for the nation of Israel. The antitype of this was distinctly pointed out by Apostle Paul in Hebrews 12:23, that the elect church of the gospel age, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, and in 2 Corinthians 3:6, that these are to be the able ministers of the new law covenants. These firstborns alone are being dealt with during the gospel age. These alone are in danger of death penalty. For 16 centuries, the Jews year by year kept the Passover by divine decree, not merely the sacrifice of the lamb and eating of it on that night, on the same night, after the doorposts had been sprinkled with the blood, but additionally a feast of 7 days following, representing the joys and rejoicing, the blessing and favors of relationship to God based on the merit of the Passover lamb, his sacrifice, and eating thereof. Our Lord introduced what we familiarly term the Lord's Supper, a new symbolization of an antitypical Passover, and was to take the place of Jewish ceremony with his followers to carry out the same thought, but on a higher plane, as presenting a clearer, better understanding of the matter. Instead of the lamb would be the unleavened bread, representing our Lord's flesh. This he distributed to his apostles, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do in remembrance of me." Luke 22:19. The eating of the unleavened bread represents the apostles appropriating to themselves the merit of Christ's sacrifice, their justification by faith. And an additional feature was added, the cup. Our Lord gave his disciples fruits of the vine, a symbol, symbolic of his blood, and he urged them to appropriate, urged this appropriation, saying, "The cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you and for many. Drink ye all of it." Luke 22:30, Matthew 26:27-28. This invitation to drink in the Lord's of his blood signifies a participation with Christ in his as his members in a sacrifice of earthly life, earthly interests, hopes, aims, ambition, everything. All who accept this invitation to drink of his blood, thereby pledge their lives in the same service for which our Lord gave his life. It then follows that whoever intelligently partakes of the memorial supper thereby indicates two things. One, his faith in Jesus as the Passover Lamb, and his appreciation and participation in the merit of Jesus, his justification by faith. And two, his membership in the body of Christ, membership of the little flock, whose faithfulness is manifested by drinking of our Lord's cup, of sharing with him in his sacrifice, suffering with him in order to reign with him. 1 Corinthians 10:16-17, 2 Timothy 2:11-12. As the blood of the Lamb marked the household of faith, not merely the firstborns of that household, so the eating of the lamb was not merely for the firstborn, but for all the household. In the consequence, our Lord said, "My flesh is meat indeed, and again, this is the bread which come down from heaven. He that eateth this bread shall live forever." John 6:55-58. In other words, not only was it necessary that Jesus should die, a meritorious sacrifice, but it is also necessary that all who will have profit through his sacrifice must appropriate the merit of his sacrifice, feed upon them. The eating of the lamb typified the appropriation by the household of faith of those earthly rights and interests which were forfeited by Adam's disobedience and redeemed by Christ's death. That is to say, it signifies our appropriating justification from sin, because we eat by faith, and therefore we are said to be justified by faith. By faith, we are permitted to count ourselves as fully reinstated in God's favor through the merit of Christ's sacrifice, just as we were debarred from divine favor through the demerit of Adam's sin of disobedience. The eating of the lamb signifies the appreciation of these things and the appropriation of them to ourselves. The more we eat, the better is our feeling of satisfaction in respect to our freedom from condemnation and our reinstatement in God's favor through the merit of our Passover lamb. Thus, having thus set forth the supper, let us go back now to our text, our yearly reckoning of our spiritual account for the year 1992-93, from our last memorial supper in 1993 to see how the Lord is accounting respecting us. Let us take courage from the Lord's statement respecting how he counts things, and let us count accordingly. Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who had enabled me for that he had counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. What a blessed satisfaction it is to us to know that while the Lord knows of our every word and every deed, he is pleased to count us something different. Even from our own words and deeds, he counts us something better. Our words do not always represent the full sentiments of our hearts, and our conduct does not come up to the standard. After our words have been spoken, and after the deeds have been done, perhaps to the best of our ability, we realize that they have come short of the glory of God, even short of our ideals, desires, and efforts. However, how consoling it is for us, then, to know that our imperfect work shall be accepted to God through Christ, that the Lord counts us according to our intentions, according to our wills. The apostle rejoiced that by our Lord counting him according to his intentions and not according to his deeds, that he was counted worthy to a place in the Lord's ministry. Let us similarly rejoice and remember that all the royal priesthood, all of the true consecrated members of the body of Christ, are ministers, servants of God, and also servants of one another. The Lord has put all of us in the ministry, which is the ministry of service, of kindness, of love towards the Lord, in honoring his name and declaring his righteousness, a ministry towards the brethren, in opening all their eyes of understanding and enabling them to appreciate the length and the breadth and the height and the depths of the Lord's character. This is what we experience in Nigeria. The brethren have opened up our eyes to see, through the ministry they come to us, to see and to enable us to appreciate the length and the breadth and the height of God's character. All along we have been in darkness. Thank God for this. We conclude the exhortation on the spiritual accounting by calling attention to the words of the apostle's words in 2 Timothy 1:11, saying, "We pray always for you that God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness and work of faith and power." What more could one ask than the Lord will count us worthy of this great, of the great high calling of the present gospel age, a joint heirship of the Son in the kingdom. We have this assurance respecting the terms on which we will count us worthy. We realize that the terms are very reasonable indeed, and that what we do sacrifice in conforming to those terms will really be only a loss and dross to us, as long as we are filled with a proper zeal for the Lord and his cause. And respect our own share, let us settle in our hearts that these gracious things to which we are called are all the good pleasure of his goodness. Let us start into the new year with good courage, remembering that if God loved us while we are just sinners, strangers, aliens, and foreigners, how much more does he know now love us, since we have come to relationship with him through Christ Jesus our Lord, since we are seeking to walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, since we are seeking to be copies of his dear Son our Lord, since we have been begotten of the Holy Spirit. Truly, faith may commonly claim all things are ours, for we are Christ and Christ is God. The Lord add his blessings.
Thank you, Brother J.C., for these thoughts on counting. As we review the blessings that we do have, we are abundantly blessed. We certainly are glad not to have all the physical difficulties that the brethren abroad do have, but we're thrilled that they are able to overcome those and appreciate the spiritual values, even as we endeavor to do here. Brethren, I forgot to make an announcement for our evening meal, and then we'll be dismissed by Brother Joseph, and would ask him, as he closes with prayer, to ask the Lord's blessing upon our evening meal and fellowship as well.
Our most precious Father in heaven, we thank thee for this privilege of coming together in this convention. We thank you for your mercies and kindness. We thank you for the love you have shed in our hearts. We thank you for everything done for us up to this moment. Remember unto you all our brethren throughout the whole world, those in America, those in Asia, those in Africa, those in Europe. We pray that the Spirit guide us always. Remember also our brethren in Nigeria in particular, those who are still struggling and suffering. We ask you for consolation and strength in the narrow way. We pray also for the food we are going to take. Your blessings be upon them, that when we eat it, that give us strength to continue the race in the narrow way. Pray for us, Lord. Pray with us and pray in us as we pray in his name. Amen.